This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The British Columbia Ministry of Health released a report in December 2011 which revealed that just over half of all elders in the province's residential care facilities are being medicated with antipsychotic drugs. The report identified a need for greater awareness of issues surrounding dementia and the health care consent. Advocates and experts in the care of elders are concerned about the high rate of atypical antipsychotic medication use in long-term care settings. We're joined on the phone by Gloria Gutman of Simon Fraser University's Gerontology Research Center.
Welcome to People First Radio, Gloria.
Thank you.
Your reaction to the findings of this review is quoted by the Globe and Mail, and I'm just going to quote what they said that you said. I had a fit when I read in the report that 50% of patients are on antipsychotics, some of them being the ones that are not supposed to be prescribed to old people. Tell us more about your concerns.
Well, it's not a new issue that older people in care facilities tend to be over-medicated with psychotropic drugs. And what distressed me was the fact that we are still continuing to do it, and particularly that some of these atypical medications are being prescribed. Since 2005, there's been a directive out alerting physicians to this problem, and certainly there's been lots of talk around about it. So that's why I had a fit.
Why are antipsychotic medications being given to so many elderly residents in care facilities?
Why are they being used? Well, with people that have severe dementia, they may well have delusions, they may be aggressive, they may be agitated. And so some of the symptoms are like those that are seen in schizophrenia or other psychoses. So that's the rationale behind prescribing psychotropics. And the purpose is to make the patient feel better, presumably. They're also used if there's a danger of the person acting out and hurting not only themselves but also other people and or staff.
Now, the government report that we're speaking about is titled...
All right, can you speak up?
Yeah. The government review that we're speaking about is titled A Review of the Use of Antipsychotic Drugs in British Columbia Residential Care Facilities. It identifies the need for greater awareness of issues surrounding dementia and healthcare consent. Tell us more about those needs, the need for greater awareness and around dementia and healthcare consent, and how those needs can be responded to.
Well, dementia is a problem because as we have more and more people living to be old, the good news is there's more and more people living to be old. The bad news is that your odds of having a dementing illness go up. So in what we call the young old, you know, people that are 65 to 74, the percentage is relatively small, but when you get into the 85 and over group, you've got about anywhere from around 30% who will have a dementing illness. So there's enough people out there that it's an issue.
But how then can healthcare consent take place in the situation of someone who has dementia?
Sorry, the issue of consent?
Yeah, tell us more about the issue of consent.
Okay, well, as it says in the report, there are three points in time when consent is supposed to be sought. The first is when there is an admission to a care facility. The second is in respect to the care plan that is developed. And the third is where there is a change in the care plan. And so there are some complaints from family members that they were not consulted at the time when there was a change in medication, i.e. when psychotropics were started or were increased. And it's an issue for family when you're dealing with demented people, because the person themselves, by nature of the disease, is not able to comprehend the issues and to make the decision for themselves.
You mentioned something about family complaints. What have you heard in terms of anecdotal information or evidence about these situations?
Well, there are people that one hears about who will say that their relative went into a facility and deteriorated fairly quickly, and they put the blame on some of the treatments that were given. And, you know, there are stories that appear in the newspapers or that we hear about by word of mouth of someone who took their relative out of the facility, took them off the meds, and the person's, both their behavior and their cognition improved. You know, the problem is with older people, drugs have different effects than on younger people, plus they may be taking a whole cocktail of drugs, a variety of drugs for different chronic conditions, and sometimes you get an interaction of the medications. But
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
The British Columbia Ministry of Health undertook a review in 2011 of the issues associated with the prescription of antipsychotic medications for elderly residents in the province's residential care facilities. It came in response to public concerns, including a complaint from a family whose mother was in residential care in the Fraser Valley. The review found that just over half of all elders in British Columbia residential care facilities are being medicated with antipsychotic drugs. It also identified a need for greater awareness of issues surrounding dementia and healthcare consent. We're speaking with Gloria Gutman, an educator, researcher, and consultant in the field of gerontology.
Dr. Gutman, in your interview with the Globe and Mail about this situation, you also said that, quote, if facilities are so short-staffed that all they can do is keep somebody dry and fed, they're not going to have time to give person-centered care. So my question to you is, how much of this situation is related to staffing cuts and funding shortages?
Well, some of it is staffing cuts. Some of it is that there never was enough staff in the first place. But that's always an issue because, you know, you really have to know the client in order to know what it is that's setting them off, that's making them agitated, that might make them act out. And if you're so busy feeding people and trying to look after their, keep them clean and look after their bodily needs, there isn't enough time to really get to know the person. So that's one of the issues that comes about. Another issue on the staffing side has to do with whether the frontline staff, who may well turn over, are educated to the degree that they should be. So it may be that the administrators or the senior nursing staff understand the behaviors of people and that are well versed on the different kinds of medications and what should and shouldn't be given, but that some of the newer staff have not had enough training to be able to discern what is problematic. See, because you need to have the frontline staff communicating with the physicians, or with who's doing the person doing the prescribing. So they've got enough to know what to tell the person doing the prescribing.
Are people who live with dementia and Alzheimer's more, I guess you'd say, vulnerable to the potential of elder abuse?
Well, that is a situation. Yes. Yes. I mean, that's an area that I do work in, and that's a big concern because they're not able to speak for themselves in oftentimes. Or when they do, people say, well, it's the dementia speaking. They don't know what they're talking about, you know, if they report that there has been an abusive situation. So, yes, they are vulnerable. We don't have good numbers on the prevalence of abuse and neglect in care facilities. And that's one of the things that a group of researchers from across the country are trying to address. There's a group called the Elder Abuse Theme Team that is part of the NICE initiative, National Incentives or Innovations in Care of the Elderly.
Now, Dr. Guttman, at what point does medicating an elder become chemical restraint, and can that be considered abuse?
Well, that's a good question, because if a person is being restrained, you have to ask some more questions. And as the report points out, if the medication is being given for the benefit of the patient, then it's not a restraint. But if it is being given for the benefit of staff, so, you know, quieting the person down so that staff can manage them better, then that would be classed as restraint, and you can slide over from there into the issue of abuse.
Gloria, we have the review findings. There are some recommendations mentioned in that particular report. What are the next steps in this process?
Well, the recommendations are to do more education, to look into this, and, you know, as I understand it, the Minister of Health was also distressed by the findings and is going to try to raise awareness.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation before we wrap up the interview for today?
Well, just that the caregivers of or relatives of people who are in care facilities really do need to be alert to a potential for abuse and to ask questions and be a strong advocate for the person with dementia who can't do it themselves.
Dr. Gloria Guttman, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today.
Gloria Guttman is widely known in the field of gerontology as an educator, researcher, and consultant. Dr. Guttman developed and directed both the Simon Fraser University Gerontology Research Center and the Gerontology Department from 1982 to 2005. In 2010, she was elected the third president of the International Network for Prevention of Elder Abuse.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.